I opened my eyes and saw an old white man meandering into the cafe. He wasn't native, but dressed like them. He seemed fit, and his face hard, like he had seen war. Spain gets lots of tourists, so I wasn't sure why I took notice. His accent? No, I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I hid my face behind my Spanish book and heard him ask some teenagers if he could sit down. They blew him off. They were busy. Ocupado. Public display of affection was overpracticed and underpunished in this country. You speak English? I heard him say. I chuckled and peeked over the book to see which poor sucker he was talking to now. May I sit here? He asked, plopping down opposite me, not waiting for an answer. The whimsical smile slid off my face and landed somewhere near the pit of my stomach. I thought about trying to pass for a native until he went away, but I looked as foreign as he did and definitely sounded like it, too. Stupid Jose. Sorry, sir, but I'm waiting for someone. You do speak English, he said, a look of relief passing over him. American? I nodded and tried to look disinterested. No dice. What's your name? Sloan, I said, trying to hide the irritation in my voice. I hated my name. That's not the kind of name you give a kid. Sloan, he paused to think. That's a good, strong name for a youngster. How old are you, anyhow? I must have winced or something because he quickly added, Sorry, I didn't mean to pry. I just haven't met many English speakers. It's easy to indulge. What's your name? Blast, I just said it like a mallet to a knee. He didn't answer right away, but looked out the window at the street for some time. How many people have you met in your life, Sloan, that could answer that question 10 different ways? Sorry, I said. Knowing what I do now, I would have gotten up and left right then. Call me Brock, he said, as he reached into his pocket and pulled out a strange metal cube. Sloan, my time is short and I'm looking for someone, he said, sounding like a radio commercial. Someone important, and right now I'm wondering if that someone isn't you. No, sir, I replied. Looking back, I should have said something stronger. I'm just a language student. No, you're not, he said confidently. I know more about you than you realize. I know you're a thrill seeker and an adventurer. How's that? It's a little annoying for someone else to tell you what you are, no matter how right they might be. You left your home to go abroad, didn't you? He said in a matter-of-fact tone. You obviously want to experience new things, new cultures. Look, I really need to take this, for instance. He placed the cube in the center of the table. It bore strange symbols on each side. They were almost like runes, but more modern-looking. Know why I came here? He asked. A passion for life. He slapped the table as he said the word passion, then leaned back in his chair. A dying man needs passion. You're dying? Just a matter of time for all of us, right? He sighed, scooted his chair back, and stood up. Wait here, he said. And with that, he just walked out of the cafe. As Brock stepped out onto the sidewalk, I thought about how odd this encounter had been. Then I noticed the cube on the table. He had forgotten it. At the time, I wasn't too concerned, though, because he made it sound like he was coming back. The problem was that he wouldn't be. It was surreal. I saw Brock step into the road. Then he just stood there and looked back at me. I snatched the cube and waved it at him, hoping to get his attention.